setting me free. It's Holy Ghost power that's very hard. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand to feet and sing a verse or two, and then we'll hand over to our brother David this evening. This Holy Ghost stage, so I go down this way, take the big step.
That's a lag of years ago. I could fall down, I believe you.
It's good to go with you tonight. Good to have fellowship in the presence of the Lord. Our scripture tonight is taken from Ephesians chapter 6. The last time I was here, I preached on part of the armor of God. And I want to move on to the next piece. I thought it would have been a handy enough message got together. But you know, God has different ideas. He says what he wants to say, not what I want to say. So tonight I just pray that God the Holy Spirit will have his way, that he'll silence my lips and take away the thoughts that I have and give the thoughts that he has to the people of God. We're going to begin reading at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we'll finish there. Father, tonight, we're just helpless human beings. But thank God tonight, we're washed. We're cleansed. We're filled with the Spirit of the living God. We thank you tonight that you promised to be in this place where the twos and threes are gathered together unto your name. See, if we were gathered together tonight, Lord, unto any other name, it would be pointless and helpless and powerless. But tonight, we're gathered together unto his name, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, at whose name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. We confess tonight, he is Lord. He is Lord of this life, and he's Lord of glory tonight, and he sits enthroned in the heavens tonight, and we love him, we praise him, we honor and we glorify his name, and may the Spirit of God glorify his name tonight. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. I want to speak tonight about the breastplate of righteousness. Now, from the very youngest of us to the very oldest of us, we know what a breastplate is. We have seen photographs, we have seen films, we have seen adaptations where the breastplate is put on and it covers right down to the loins. The last time I was here, I spoke about the girdle of truth. And that's the beginning. That's where we begin, is truth. And the breastplate of righteousness is a gift. It's a gift from the King. You think of the medieval days, whenever the King was in charge of the country, he didn't have a load of yahoos sitting in the parliament making laws that the people don't want, that nobody wants. A load of nonsense that they come up with. But in those days, men who were completely dedicated to the King, they were given a breastplate, and emblazed on that breastplate was the coat of arms that the King put on it. It's a wonderful breastplate. And I want to talk about the breastplate tonight. You know, in Isaiah 59, verse 16 and 17, it says that God sought for a man and he could find no man. So what did he do? He took upon himself the breastplate of righteousness. That's the first mention of it. It's the same breastplate that God wears. Can you get your heart around that? Can you begin to let that sink down into the depth of your soul? It's the breastplate of God tonight. That's an amazing thing. I want to speak just about righteousness. It begins with right. What is right? Right is uprightness. It's true. It's correct. It's factual and it's accurate. That's what right is. It's not what right is today. It's not what the government would tell you right is. What a lot of the school teachers would tell you right is and the headmasters would tell you right is. They haven't a baldy what right is. And they try to teach children what right is. Right is this book. Right is the word of God and what he says is right. And if he said it's not right, it doesn't matter. All the popes and all the bishops and all the kings and all the courtiers would say whatever they like. What he says goes. You ever argue with the TV? I'll tell you. It's a common occurrence in our house. At tea time, I like to turn the news on. Not because I'm going to get a lot of facts out of it, mind you. But I like to see what they're saying. And mind you, it stirs your soul sometimes. And I like to talk back to it. They probably can't hear. But you know, they maybe hear more than you think. Because you see all around us. You know, the experts will tell you there's 10 dimensions. But you know, there's one dimension. And the old devils is in it.
Yes.
And they can hear exactly what you say. And you know, their representatives are on the TV.
Yes.
And they come out with all the rubbish. And sometimes it doesn't do any harm to talk back. Because you never know who's listening.
All right.
And the odd occasion now on would turn the TV off. And there'll be a click in the corner. But I'm not as easy turned off. Mind you, she wished many's a time that there was an off switch. Yes, right, straight, level, upright. And then we can get righteous out of that same word, can't we? And that's a character that is right. A character that is in right standing with God, right standing with his law, faultless when examined. That's what righteous is. And then you've got righteousness. Righteousness is unattainable by human beings. Righteousness is unattainable by your efforts. Righteousness is unattainable by anything that's in this earth. It's a gift. Righteousness is the gift of God.
Amen.
Do you know what it means? Right standing with God. It means that you're right standing according to his law. Right standing faultless when examined. Now you may not think that I'm talking about everybody that's in this room tonight. You might think that it doesn't apply. But I want to tell you tonight, if you're in right standing with God, what does that mean? It means that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Then you're righteous tonight. Do you know why? Because God gives you his righteousness. That's the only way you'll ever be righteous. You'll never be righteous by your own efforts, by anything that you do. Oh, can I correct that? There's only one thing that you can do that makes you righteous, and that's bow the knee to the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords. That's the only
Amen.
Action that a human being can make tonight that'll make him righteous. And God will give him the breastplate of righteousness. I want to contrast the scripture tonight in Judges 21 and 25. It says this: there was no king in Israel, And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everybody wants to think they're right, don't they? You ever get into a discussion or an argument? You like to think you're right. And I have to confess here, sometimes I would do devil's advocate. Because you see, if somebody will come out with a bold statement, I want to see that they're not just making a statement that somebody else has trotted out. I want to see that they know exactly what they're saying. Brother John and I used to have some great debates, you know, years ago when I lived in Bonbridge. I don't know that Anne would remember them all, but I remember we used to be going to meetings and would have had some animated discussions on the way to meetings even. Even remember one occasion whenever I had eat humble pie, because as I'm making my arguments to John, all of a sudden the Spirit of God whispered in my ear. And you have to be obedient to the Spirit of God. But with some good times, brother, didn't we? And whenever we started to talk, you see, about the things of God, the Spirit of God draws near.
Amen.
You see, whenever you start to have real fellowship and your heart is right, you're not just arguing for an old twist that's in you. You're not just, because you're really wanting to talk things out, and it's only whenever you start to say something, all of a sudden you'll say it, and you'll say, I wish I had a bit of my tongue because I realize I've just talked nonsense. That ever happened to you? Maybe it doesn't, maybe you are. But I want to put my, it happens to me all the time. I'm one of these people, you know the way it talks about you can put your foot in your mouth?
Yes.
I got to put both my feet in my mouth many a time. Whenever I was a young fella your size, I got to put both legs behind my head. Mind you, I'd be lucky to get it up to cross it now. But that happens to everybody. One day, I'm going to get a body.
Yes,
amen.
And you know the way it talks about Superman? He'd loop right across a building with one bound. I tell you what, that body can walk through walls.
Yes, amen.
That body can go anywhere because it'll be like his.
Amen.
One day we'll be like him. Won't that be someday?
Yes,
one day we'll be like him. That will be a wonderful day.
Amen.
But you see, people want to think they're right, don't they? But let's not kill ourselves. It's a mess out there, isn't it? It's a mess out there. This world is a mess because people think they're right. They want to do whatever they want. They want to do whatever they think's right in their own head. You know why? Because there's no king. Because he's not sitting on the throne of this earth. He's not here yet. He's coming. They don't know that he is ruling in the kingdoms of men. You know why? Because he's let them out on a long leash. You ever take a dog for a walk, you know you've got one of them press button ones and whoosh, away it goes. The daughter had a wee dog one time and they call it Taz. It was short for Tasmanian Devil. And I used to have this thing about tractors. Boy, I'd hated tractors with passion. Just as well wasn't a farmer had it. But you see, whenever the tractor would have come down the road with the flashing lights, this thing would have went absolutely mental. But you know, you used to let it off and it thought it was away. But you know, that's exactly how God controls this world. They think they can do whatever they like. They think they're off the leash, they think they're away, and they'll do just whatever. And there's a war in Europe, and they think they're going to do whatever. America's going to bring in all these arms, and they're just going to do this and that. Not at all. They're going to do exactly what he allows. Not one inch further. Not one inch further they're going to go. Now, it is a shocking thing. There are wee families and homes lost and lives lost. But you know, honestly, does this world deserve better? Do you and I really deserve to be saved tonight? No, we don't. You see, sometimes we'll put a poor face on. Sometimes we'll clean ourselves, we'll clean up, we'll put our collar and tie on, and we'll think we're magic, we're wonderful.
But you know, we're only here by the grace of God. We didn't deserve it. You were singing earlier on, you know, many could have called 10,000 angels. Many's a time, I think, whenever I'm in old flesh, that he should have. Because we really don't deserve it. These believers, we really don't deserve it. But he's all grace. He's all mercy and he's all love. That's who he is. They think they're right, don't they? You know what's wrong with this world? Not the things that's going on. Not the ungodly men. Not the people that are doing dastardly things. You know what's wrong with this world? We've got a powerless church. That's what's wrong with this world. Jesus Christ put this church into this world to be salt and light. He put the church into this world as his body, as his hands and his feet, to turn it upside down. One time they did. Where are they today? The church is silent and acquiescent amid the gross immorality. And it's a big bit of the problem, because the church is not speaking out. Oh, they'd lock us up. We should be locked up. Should be locked up. Because we're just like nodding turkeys. You ever see them wee things that they shoot at? And you hit it and it goes like that there. And you shoot it and it goes, and it goes back. And we're just like nodding turkeys. We just nod all that's going on. I could talk to the TV, but maybe we need to go to Parliament and catch our boy by the tie and pull him down and say, I want to tell you something, boy. God's going to judge you. Many times has that happened to our politicians? Many times has that happened to that Prime Minister? Anybody ever got him to look and says, come here, you boy. Do you know that God's going to judge you? You're on your way to hell. Maybe we need to just give ourselves a wee bit of a shake. Honestly. There's a price to be paid. But you're going to pay a price anyway. You know, if they get their way, they're going to lock you up anyway. You might as well start off and get locked up for something worth getting locked up for. And that's the truth. You know, it's an honour and a responsibility to wear the breastplate of righteousness. Do you know why? Because he gave his life's blood to give it to us. That's the truth tonight. I'm not going to tell you anything tonight that you maybe haven't heard, that you maybe haven't come across before. But I'm going to repeat it to you. I'm going to emphasize it to you. Peter says that it's good to put you in remembrance of these things. Good to be in remembrance. I wanted to take three role models. I might go on a while. I better put this out here with a time on it. I did warn the pastor coming in. He didn't give me a time when to finish, so sorry, Tommy. Yes, I could have picked three kings. I'm going to pick three men. I could have picked three kings. I could have picked David. I could have picked Solomon. David had a wonderful heart after the Lord, or Solomon, the wisest king. I could have picked the three great men of valor. Adino, who killed 800 men, the one sitting. He was somebody to have at your back. Could have been Eliezer. He stood and he fought the Philistines to the sword welded to his hand. Or it could have been Shammah, who stood in that patch of lentils and he fought off the Philistines and he saved the patch of lentils, and God gave them all victory. I could have used those three men, but I feel led tonight to take three prophets, and you'll maybe see why. The first prophet is Daniel. Any Daniels in the meeting tonight? No Daniels tonight? Well, I hope the spirit of the Daniels in you. Daniel, God is my judge. or a name. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. You know the wee chorus boys? Dare to make a purpose firm and dare to make it known. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few. All hail Daniel's band. One day, God will honor them, those that stood true. You know, Daniel was fearless. He was fearless. Chapter 6 of Daniel tells us how he faced the den of lions. You know how that came about? That came about because he got a promotion. He got a promotion and he was in a position and they couldn't do anything with him. That's how he ended up going into Daniel's lion's den. He was fearless, he was faithful. You see, as a youth, as a young man, maybe about the age of some of these young men here, he refused to eat the food that was offered to idols. Now, you'd say that was a very simple thing, wouldn't you? But, you know, it shows a heart. Do you know that all God's looking for is a heart tonight? He's looking for a heart that's not willing to compromise.
Amen.
He's looking for a heart tonight that loves him. Amen. More than everything else that's around. What did he say to Peter whenever he's restoring Peter? He says to Peter, do you love me more than these? Don't he say, Peter, you know, you went back to the fishing. Do you love me more than the fishing? Do you love me more than the rest of the disciples all? Well, Peter says, he says, Lord, you know. And he does know. He knows tonight whether you love him or not.
Amen.
Or whether it's just a facade. I hope it's not a facade tonight. Yes, he didn't want to take what was offered to idols. As a student, he studied intensively in a foreign land and became one of the king's wise men. It's not an accolade for a young man. That's some accolade that he would study to such an extent in a foreign land, in a foreign language, things that were strange to him completely, but he excelled. Because he was faithful. He was faithful as an intercessor in seeking answers from God.
Amen.
And he got some answers from God, didn't he? We're still living in the light of Daniel's prophecies today, and I don't have time to go into them all. But you see, he sought God intensively in fasting and in prayer and in sackcloth and ashes. And God heard him. He was faithful. He was faultless. His enemies could find no fault in him. In chapter 6 and in verse 4, it says they couldn't find a fault in him. Just giving you the reference, I'm not going to read it. And they got the king to command, make a special command, because they could find no fault in Daniel's work. They could find no fault in his character. They could find absolutely nothing. And they said to themselves, the only way we'll find a fault against this Daniel is in his God, in his faith, in his walk with God. That's the only thing they could find. And they went to the king and they got the king to make a special command that they would, that the people, the whole people, for a period of days, would ask nothing of any God, of any person, of anything at all, only the king. And of course, Daniel went on praying. And went on seeking God. And that's why he ended up going to the den of lions. Because he was faithful in prayer. He was faithful and he was faultless. That's some accolade. Faultless. He was favored. He was favored because he was faithful and he was faultless. And he was fearless. He was favored. He was favored by the prince of eunuchs whenever he was a young lad and he says he didn't want to eat what was offered to idols. He was favored by Nebuchadnezzar. It says that Nebuchadnezzar made him a great man. Mind ye, didn't mince his words with Nebuchadnezzar. He told Nebuchadnezzar that he was going to get proud and that God was going to humble him and he was going to eat grass like a sucky calf. And maybe people don't know what a sucky calf is. Maybe most of these are all country people. He would eat grass. Can you imagine that? That was this was the king of an empire. And Daniel told him the truth. And because Daniel always told him the truth and always told him the things that nobody else could tell him, he promoted him and made him a great man. By the way, we've got a day and an age where there are many prophets. And you know, they'll say to you, you tell me your dream and you tell me what's on your mind and I'll give you an interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar was a wise man. He says, I forgot the dream. He says, tell me the dream and then tell me the interpretation. Wouldn't that be a tester for some of the so-called prophets today?
Amen.
Maybe we need to try them out.
Yes.
That's how you know a prophet.
Amen.
He hears from God.
Yes. Right.
God showed him the very dream that he dreamed. And whenever he started to tell him the dream, Nebuchadnezzar remembered. That's why he made him a great man. Yes, he made him a great man. Then we come on to the next was Belshazzar. You remember Belshazzar took all the vessels of God's house and they had an orgy. I wouldn't even go into probably what was going on. You could read between the lines. But when he's well oiled, he brings in the vessels and all the rest of it, and the fingers of a man's hand writes on the wall. You know, a lot will tell you today there's no such thing as an unknown tongue.
Right.
What was that? All the wise men of that Medo-Persian empire couldn't tell what the writing was. Only the prophet of God could interpret it. And he says, I'll make you the third ruler. And he made him the third ruler for a day. And that night he was killed. That night the empire was wiped out. And there was a new emperor. A new empire ushered in. And within a couple of days, Daniel gets favor and Daniel is made the top president of all the rulers of that new empire. You take that in. This is a new king, a new emperor. A new takeover of a complete country, of a complete empire. He brings in a complete new empire. And he takes this man, Daniel, and he makes him next in command to himself. See, only God can do that.
Amen.
That's real favor.
Amen.
That's not just getting a promotion in your job. That's getting a real promotion. But you see, that was because he was fearless. He was faithful. And he was faultless before God. And God honored him. But you know, that's not the greatest thing. You know the greatest thing and the thing that really touched my heart? Daniel is told three times in Daniel chapter 9 and 23. I'll maybe just read it. Says, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord. And it was right down, and I didn't put the right reference down here. It is 23. And it's the angel Gabriel in verse 23, and it says, at the beginning of my supplication, of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Isn't that some accolade? This is the great archangel Gabriel, and he comes to Daniel, and he says, thou art greatly beloved. Isn't that some accolade? You'd think that was great. But I want to tell you in chapter 10 and in verse 11, we have another angel. And this angel has come from a great battle, battling through to Daniel. And in verse 11 he says, "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved." Isn't that beautiful? I don't know whether it touches your heart, but I want to tell you, it moves me that. It moves my heart. And in verse 19 again, we've got another one. Another angel. A mighty being. I want to tell you, one of them was sent to wipe out a complete army. And he wiped out 185,000 men like that. This is the sort of beings that we're dealing with.
Amen.
And in verse 19 he said, "O man, greatly beloved." Greatly beloved. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's wonderful. That the angels would know his name. And it wasn't even that he was greatly beloved to the angels. He was greatly beloved in the courts of heaven. I want to tell you tonight, you're loved with an everlasting love tonight.
Amen.
You might have been through the mill. You might have been through tight places. But you're greatly beloved tonight. That's what the Word of God tells me.
Amen.
Greatly beloved. We're going to move on for our next role model. Our next role model is Elijah. We've got an Elijah here. We might have more than one. Have we more than one? Maybe one's plenty. Maybe one's plenty. If he's like the real Elijah, he'd be hard to hold down. The prophet Elijah, "Jehovah is my God." What a name. Jehovah is my God. You know, the one thing about the prophet was his boldness. I love his boldness. In Kings 17 and 1, he comes on the scene like a storm. No warning. No lineage. No word that he's coming. All of a sudden, he just confronts the king with boldness. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, he could see him wagging his finger in his face, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now you see, that's a prophet, isn't it? Completely different character. Completely different nature. But a fire, a passion, a faithfulness, a holiness, a godliness, and he hears from God. Boldness. And not only to the king, but in Kings 17, 10 to 16, it tells the story of how he goes to this wee woman. Now, she's not an Israelite. She's of Sidon. You know what he says to her? He says, "Bake me a cake." And they were starving. She was going to bake one for her and her wee lad, and they were going to die. You see that boldness? It was boldness not just out on the forefront, but it was boldness in the domestic scene as well. It was boldness when people didn't see him. It was boldness in the everyday things of life. He says, "Go and bake me a cake." That's the boldness. See, it comes over in the area, every area of the life. Every scene of life, that boldness of God that God gives you needs to come out. And of course, he boldly confronts Ahab again after 3.5 years of drought. You know what Ahab says to him? He says, "You're the boy that's troubled Israel." Not on your life, he says, "it's you. It's you and the way you've caused the people to follow Baal and Balaam and the godlessness." And I wonder, had they the same godlessness and filthiness and vileness that we've got today? I believe they had. That's why I've used these men. Because of his fearlessness, and I'm going to cut it short because I'm running out of time and I've got a ream of stuff here. You mightn't get out for a while yet. But because of his boldness, because of his faithfulness, because of the fire that he had. Do you know what he did? He delivered a nation. He brought a nation back to faith in God. Do you know? Wonder where we stand. Daniel 11 and 32 says this. It says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Amen. All right? The evidence would say we don't. They that know their God shall do exploits. The evidence, let me tell you, would say that we don't. Overall, might be wee pockets, there might be the odd one or two, but as a rule, the evidence says that we don't know our God. We don't know the power of our God. We don't know the anointing of our God. We don't know the fire that Elijah knew. We don't know the faithfulness and the fearlessness that Daniel knew. That's the truth tonight, isn't it? But I want to say this. We can. We can. There's hope. There's an answer. And the third role model is Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah the prophet. I'm just going to read it. Chapter 6. It says this. It says in verse 1. It says, "The year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. He wasn't a captive like Daniel. He wasn't a firebrand like Elijah. But I want to tell you, he was fearless, bold, and faithful like the others. But it's strange here. He's prophesied for five chapters, hasn't he? It says that he prophesied in the reign of Uzziah, if you read through, and I haven't time to read through it. Nearly a message on its own. This man had been prophesying. And he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I wonder, was he still in mourning for the king dying? Because it said, you know, he lived 3,000 years ago, 700 years before Christ. And it says here in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah, it said, was his uncle, actually. That's what a lot of the historians would tell you. I wonder, was he in mourning for him? I wonder if something happened where he was questioning God. That sometimes happens when something painful happens. I wonder, was he questioning God why God had struck Uzziah with leprosy because of his boldness and his disobedience? And then he'd taken his life. I wonder, was he on the outs with God? I wonder, was there something, because you see, when he sees God. Now, this man's a prophet. He's already prophesied for five chapters before this. Yet when he sees God, he cries. Now you see, people miss it, because he's not just crying out with his voice. He's crying. He's weeping. The tears are flowing. This man is distraught. This man says, woe unto me. Do you know what a woe is? It's a judgment of God. Woe unto me, for I am a man of unclean lips. What had he said to God? What had he voiced? Or what had he said to somebody else? See, it's not whatever you say sometimes to God. It's whatever you say to somebody else when you're a child of God. You have to be careful what you say. You can put both feet in it. You can talk yourself into a situation that you can't get yourself out of. Woe is me, for I am undone. Do you know all God wants? All God wants is repentance. All God wants is for you to own up. All God wants is for me to own up. Say, Lord, I missed it. I was wrong. I am sorry. I am sorry I opened my mouth and I said what I shouldn't say. Mind you, I'm guilty a lot of times. It does happen. And it's only walking yourself into that situation and having to eat humble pie that teaches you to keep this shut, to keep it under control. That's the truth. You know, we're not talking something that's not, just simple. But as he cries out, immediately, without a command of God, immediately the seraphim goes over to the live coals. Do you know what that is? That's Calvary. It is because it's burning before God. That's Calvary. Because you see, Calvary's timeless. Do you see at this moment in time, God who sits in eternity is looking at Calvary. Because Calvary was timeless. All that went before it and all that goes after it is the center of all eternity. And that's the only thing that keeps you and I from being burnt alive tonight in the fire of God's judgment is Calvary.
Amen.
That burns before the throne of God. The judgment of God taken by the wonderful, beautiful Lamb of God. That's what saves tonight.
Amen.
That's what cleanses tonight. And that seraphim with the tongs takes that coal and touches his lips. And he says, thine iniquity is purged, thy sin is taken away. And immediately, he hears God. Maybe he hadn't been hearing him up to that point. See, sin comes between you and me and God. Sin will stop up your ears. You know, whenever he's speaking to the churches, he says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. You need to have your ears well cleaned out. Plenty of olive oil in it. Takes plenty of oil to clean our ears out. The oil of the Holy Ghost can give us hearing ears.
Amen.
That's the truth tonight.
Amen.
We need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To give us hearing.
That's right.
And as he repents, he comes to that realization, cries for repentance. He's renewed by that coal from off the altar. And he's recommissioned. Says, hear my Lord, send me. You notice that? Whenever you get a touch of God, there's a willingness to go. Man, we can all make a mess, can't we? We can all fail. We can all falter. We can all make a mess. The self-righteous have their own standards, haven't they? They like to think they're right with God. They like to boast of their own righteousness. But we wear a special breastplate. It's not ours, it's a gift. It's precious. It's spotless. It can't be stained or destroyed by the world. It's impervious to the devil's arrows. Do you know what it does? It protects your heart. You need to protect your heart. Because it's with the heart man believes. And then with the voice, with the tongue, you make confession of what's in your heart. I want you to wear that breastplate tonight if you're saved. I want you to wear it tonight with fearlessness, with faithfulness, with faultlessness, faultlessness. Stay close to the cross. Get washed in the blood. Keep short accounts with God. Wear it with boldness. I want to tell you about it. It shines in the darkness.
Amen.
It shines with a bright and a perfect and a beautiful and a spotless light. See, we may not see it, but I want to tell you the devil see it. It identifies the wearer as belonging to Christ. It protects his heart from the enemy, and it scatters demon powers by its very presence. You see, as a child of God, whenever you come into the presence of the enemy, he'll squeal, he'll react. Many times has it happened. You're in the place with God, and you walk into somewhere with these people that are sold out to the enemy, they'll squeal. They'll react. It's the spotless, beautiful righteousness of Christ. The breastplate of righteousness. That's what the church needs.
Amen.
Every one of us to stand up. Every one of us to wear it with pride. Not wear it in the corner and cover it up. Not cover up what we are and what we wear and whose we are. Wear it with pride. Stand up. Do something for Christ.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. Maybe we could just stand and God bless you, Brother Davey. I really appreciate the word of the Lord tonight. Well, we have three brothers from America with us, from Donnie Reagan's church, and God bless you, brother. What's your name again, brother? Come on up, brothers, and give a wee greeting. Come on ahead.
God bless you. The three of us are from Tennessee in the United States, and we're just in Ireland for a week or so, just visiting the country and seeing some things, and we haven't slept in about 30 hours, so we're making it through, but we wanted to come and see you all since we'd heard there was some believers here in the area, so God bless you.
God bless you, brothers. Don't be crashing on the way down the road. God bless you. Praise God. The brother texted me and I was away. And we got back the day. But the Lord bless you. And greet these brothers when you go out. And take greetings back to Brother Donnie Reagan and the fellowship over there as well. And the Lord bless our Brother Davey. And we're going to have to get Davey back again. Because I want to hear more about we've heard about the belt and the breastplate, but there's a few more items we want to hear about, isn't there? Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. And the Lord's good, praise God. And we just thank the Lord for everything. We'll be back again Wednesday night at 7:30 for prayer and Bible study. Then next Sunday we want to continue on. And the Lord bless each one. I'm going to get a brother Gary to come. Don't forget to keep me and Brother John in prayer. We go on the 3rd of April, so it's only a few weeks away. 3rd of April until Australia. Brother John here is going over to America as well in April. And Philadelphia, isn't it, Brother John? Tucson, Arizona, and Philadelphia as well. They take meetings over there, and we're going to Australia first and then New Zealand and everything. So keep us in prayer for all these different things, and the Lord bless each one. And come on ahead, Brother Gary. God bless you, brothers.
Yeah, man, well, 30 hours without sleep, that's a pretty bit of God, just done well. And the Lord bless you. Maybe we can sing that hymn. Hear the Lord of Harvest sweetly calling, who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will bring them to you and point them to you?
Hear the Lord of Hearts.
praise God. Lord bless you as we leave. Can I sing Matthew? Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Cast your care on Jesus today, every heartache. Lord fear, praise God. Lord bless you as you go, and Lord willing, see you this Wednesday evening again at 7:30.